You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Adam Zagoria joins us here. You can see his work right now. Got a great article out on the New York Times with Buddy Buckets, Buddy Boeheim, and of course, his father, Jim. Adam, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really do appreciate it. First and foremost, my heart goes out to Syracuse. I felt that that was my best bet yesterday. I took Syracuse plus 6.5, plus 7. I teased them up. I mean, heck, I took them on the money line. You really have to tip your hat in regard to the defense that the Cougars came out with in just eliminating Buddy out of the equation. Your thoughts on yesterday's game?
Yeah, hi, Anita. Thanks for having me. You know, we all know people here in New York and, of course, in the journalism world. We went to Syracuse, and there was a lot of unhappy Syracuse fans last night. You know, the problem with them is the zone defensively can really create problems for people like San Diego State. In the first round, looked like they'd never seen a 2-3 zone before when they played Syracuse. But, you know, Syracuse just really struggled to score last night. I mean, you're not going to win an NCAA tournament game when you can barely score 50 points. You know, Buddy Boeheim, who'd been on fire for them for the past couple weeks, really struggled. And they just couldn't score enough.
Yeah, it's really a shame. If you can kind of elaborate, your story that, again, people could find at the New York Times. Give us some insight in regard to what it all entails.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Julie Boeheim, who is Buddy's mother and Jim's wife, and she gave me a lot of great background, basically about how Jim did not push Buddy into hoops, and you know, it wasn't a case of the father really wanting the son to play, but it was more that when she was home with the kids, when Jim was away on recruiting trips or whatever, she would set up a little small hoop in the den in the house and turn out the lights, and the three kids would run in and dunk the basketball, and she would introduce them as players from Syracuse, and Buddy always pretended he was Jerry McNamara because he wanted to be like Jerry, and how this was, you know, until last night, kind of a storybook run for Jim and Buddy to make the Sweet 16 together, father and son. And I talked to a bunch of different, you know, father-son coaches, and they said it's usually easiest when the son of the coach is either the best player on the team, like Buddy was, or Doug McDermott was at Creighton, or the worst player on the team, like Pat Knight was for Hall of Fame coach Bob Knight. And so I talked to different fathers and sons who coached.
I would imagine, you know, I don't know about you, but like, you know, my parents hired, when I was learning to drive, my parents hired an instructor to teach me how to drive, right? Like that's like one of the things, like, and God bless, like my parents were able to afford that. But like, if you could afford that, that's what you do. Like, you never want to teach your child how to drive a vehicle, right? Because it's just gonna, like, arguments all over the place. I would imagine that's kind of somewhat what it's like, you know, to play for your father. I would imagine that's got to be very difficult. I would imagine that there's a lot of hurdles, a lot of speed bumps, a lot of issues that a family has to get past when a father is coaching his, especially on this level. Did you find that in your story?
Yeah, I mean, I think in this situation, Buddy really looked up to his dad. I mean, Julie, his mom, gave me a lot of great details about how, you know, Buddy kind of grew up worshiping Jim. And, you know, we all see Jim Boeheim as this sort of, you know, nasally voiced, snarky guy with glasses on the sideline, but she was saying at home he was a really great father, and he would sit on the couch with Buddy watching cartoons and games, and Buddy always had his hand somewhere on Jim, usually on Jim's head, and you know, they would play together a lot, and if you were ever looking for Buddy, you just had to find out where Jim was and Buddy would be with him. So, you know, I think Buddy, whose real name is Jackson, by the way, but goes by Buddy, you know, he really looks up to his dad, and his dad's his hero. So I think in this case, you know, it's just a really good experience for them to be able to win a few games and get to the Sweet 16. You know, Fran McCaffrey at Iowa had two sons on the team at Iowa this year, and he said, he said it was great because you get to spend time with them, you know, you're with them, and the key thing for the coach is you have to treat the son just like he was any other player.
Yeah. And again, I would imagine that that's got to be difficult at times. Again, Adam Zagoria joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Adam, let's look forward to today. Again, like I said earlier, some people coming in to today with house money. Some people like me. I won all three previous games. Hughes was my bet. I blew all my house money. So I'm looking to get back into the black today. So let's take a look at Creighton going up against Gonzaga. Again, Gonzaga favored by 13.5 in some places. Some people might feel a little nervous laying the double digits. But let's be honest, they've won 25 straight by double digits, a really impressive win against Oklahoma. I thought Oklahoma was going to challenge them, and certainly they did not. They won by 16 points. Your thoughts on this matchup? Are you expecting another blowout, or are you giving Creighton even a chance to try to cover?
You know, I think it'll be what's the spread on that game? I'm sorry, 11?
13.5 in some places.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Creighton definitely can score and likes to score. I think Gonzaga is gonna win the game. 13, you know, I don't know. They could cover that. I think it's gonna be something like, you know, 85-73 or 74, something like that. I mean, Creighton can definitely get out and score. You know, Gonzaga has 3 of the 15 finalists for the Naismith Award, or 10 finalists, whatever it is. 3 of the best players in the country. The fourth best player, Joel Ayayi, is the only player in program history to have a triple-double. So they're going to be the favorite, you know, in any game they go into. And, you know, whether they cover the spread, I don't know, but it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
All right, game number two. I can't wait for this one. FSU, I have them go to my Final Four. I think the wrong team is favored here. FSU getting to... you know, and I think we had you on last week, and one thing I said, it's just FSU does everything well. They check all the boxes, right? Like, I want to say I was reading a stat that, like, all 5 of their guys average a minimum of 10 points. So they spread the ball around. They're athletic. They're long. I think their length is really going to challenge Michigan today. And, of course, I have a sweet spot for Leonard Hamilton. I used to work with him down in Miami. Who do you like in this matchup?
I like Michigan, Anita. I do agree. Florida State's a very long, talented, athletic team. You know, they have Scotty Barnes, who's a likely lottery pick, a 6'8 guy there playing the point. I think of the one seeds, as I wrote in the Times yesterday, Michigan has the hardest road, you know, to the Final Four. I thought Baylor would come through. I still think Baylor's going to get to the Final Four. I think Gonzaga will. You know, Michigan here would have to be Florida State and then, you know, possibly Alabama, which mm-hmm. is the highest rated of the two seeds. They're the 5 overall seed, and Alabama can really score a lot of points. So, and Michigan is missing Isaiah Livers, you know, one of their best players who's out with an injury. So I my gut is Michigan comes through today, but I'm not sure they get past Alabama.
All right, UCLA and Alabama, talking about Alabama, man, they are just so good. Third best defense in the country, and put up 90, very impressive. 90, their game against Maryland was really impressive to me. I thought that that would be a much more difficult game for them. You've got an Alabama team now. They are favored by 6.5, 7 in some places. Are you looking at the conference here? Here's the thing. I think UCLA is on borrowed time. Like, as an 11 seed, with all due respect to them, I think they've just been very fortunate in their path to get to the Sweet 16. My gut's telling me that this potentially could be an absolute blowout. How do you think this game's going to play out, Adam?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're wrong there. You know, it's funny. Alabama coach Nate Oates is a former math teacher, and he's all about citing math numbers and statistics. And, you know, he likes to play kind of an NBA-style offense where they really get up and down the court and shoot a lot of three-pointers. And he's all about, you know, dunks and layups and three-pointers, and not necessarily shooting, you know, two-pointers and mid-range jumpers. So, you know, Alabama's one of these teams. They have a kid, Javon Quinterly, by the way, who started in New Jersey, Anita, at Hudson Catholic High School. He was a McDonald's All-American there, and now he's coming off the bench and playing really well for them. So, you know, I think you're right that, you know, like Gonzaga, they're going to score 75, 80, 85 points. And I'm not sure UCLA is going to be able to match them offensively.
And then last but not least, this is the game I'm really looking forward to. Maybe I'm going to have to take a nap. I was full transparency. I did fall asleep in the Syracuse-Houston game last night. Woke up at 3:30 in the morning to find out the score.
It was tough to stay awake. Yeah.
I know. And then couldn't get back to sleep. So it was up until like 5:30 in the morning. But nonetheless, enough about me. Hashtag champagne problems. 9:45 tonight, Oregon and USC. This is probably the one game. If you were to say, Anita, you could only watch one. Maybe I'd say FSU. Like I said, I love Leonard Hamilton. But nonetheless, USC favored by 2. Money line is -130. Both these teams, so good. I think it's going to be really so entertaining to watch. I'm leaning towards USC. But to me, this is the one game that I shrug my shoulders and I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins, but I am leaning towards USC. Who do you like here?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a very exciting game. You know, two Pac-12 teams, so you're guaranteed to have at least another Pac-12 team aside from Oregon State make the Elite Eight. You know, my gut says Oregon in this one. You know, Dana Altman is a tremendous coach. They look, you know, very impressive, you know, in their last game. And, you know, he's got a bunch of transfers there. We haven't talked much about the transfer market. There's about 1,000 kids in the transfer portal right now for next year. But Dana Altman went out and added LJ Figueroa, who's a transfer from St. John's, Eugene Omoruri, who's a 6'8 transfer from Rutgers. So he really kind of built this team like an NBA team, you know, picking top players from other schools and getting them to play well for his program. At USC, they have Evan Mobley, a 7-footer who's the kind of the projected number 2 pick in the NBA draft right now, Anita, behind Oklahoma State point guard Cade Cunningham. And he's been a force defensively, blocking, I think, about 3 shots a game, averaging 13 points a game. So, you know, if you want to watch kind of the future NBA lottery pick here, you're going to see that in Evan Mobley. And, of course, Gonzaga has Jalen Suggs, who's a top 3 draft pick. But, you know, I think it's going to be a very exciting game, and I feel like Oregon can pull that out.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.